Hello, it's the year 2024. It's me, Matt Stewart, and we've sold out all four of our Do Go Ons live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. But if you want to see me, you can do that. The show's called Dry Dryer, and we're at a new venue now. It's called The Grace Darling. Me and Sarenjaya Marnett, it's so much fun. The show's getting real good, I reckon. It's been heaps of fun, so we'd love to see you there. Use the discount code Do Go On for cheaper tickets. Also, we've now got the Do Go On quiz show. It's up online on the Stupid Old channel, so please check it out. Getting some lovely feedback so far. Please give it a watch, subscribe to the channel, maybe even comment on it, and, you know, feed those algorithm gods if you can. But love to see a Dry Dryer in Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane. Check out the quiz show. Anyway, let's get on with this show.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm here with Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
Hey. It's us from just moments ago. Now we're not advertisers, though. No. Moments ago, we were high-profile advertisers, like in Mad Men.
Now we're just your friends.
Just like before.
But now we're your high-profile friends, just like Mad Men.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I'm wearing a suit.
Me too. I'm wearing an antimicrobial suit.
I've got a cigar and a glass of brandy.
I'm smoking an antimicrobial cigar. I've really taken this thing on board,
yeah,
guys.
She's great. You got to.
I'll never smell again.
Never gonna smell again.
Oh, smelly feet ain't got no rhythm. Am I right?
Yeah.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. How are you, boys? Are you well?
We're good, but guess who isn't good, Matt? I'll give you one guess. There's three of us here. One of us is sick. It's not me. It's not you. Guess who it is?
Is it Dave?
Oh, fuck, so close. She should have been wearing her antimicrobial suit. It is hashtag pray for Bop in full effect again. Jess, you're sick. What are you doing?
I don't know. And here's the thing, too, is that, like, for you guys, because, like, pulling back the curtain, we haven't seen each other for a couple of weeks because Matt, our beautiful Matt Stewart, has been away touring Queensland.
And New South Wales.
Let me finish.
Oh, I didn't know.
I went, that's why I wasn't here.
No, I didn't know New South Wales, I meant. So yeah.
I drove past so many Steve Irwin references.
Too many. And he sent me pictures. I was like, I don't want to see that. Anyway, so Matt's been away for a couple of weeks touring and being an absolute rock star. So we haven't seen each other. So to you guys, I'm sick again. To the listener, I've just remained sick.
Yeah, wow.
I want to point out that I did get better at one point.
For like 6 days, 6 working days.
That was a hot streak.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Well done.
Thank you. So yeah, I'm sick again.
Feeling good. All right, well, Matt, how was Queensland and New South Wales?
It was a lot of fun. So much fun. It was a real good amount of fun.
Did you meet any listeners out there on the road?
I don't think I did. No, I'm pretty sure I didn't.
Probably got some new listeners though, eh?
Yeah, look, it was all I'd talked about.
Yeah.
Which is about, what, for your 15, 20 minutes set every night, just talking about...
20 minutes. I'd sort of open with 5 to 6 minutes of a bit of a plug. And I said, all right, I'm going to do a couple of jokes now quickly. And I did very quickly for the next 23 seconds. And then I finished with a 14-minute wrap-up of what the podcast can do for you if you welcome it into your life.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow, standing ovation.
Did you talk about us as well as individuals?
Oh, yeah, no, people are going to be tuning in for the first time going, oh, this is interesting. There are other people on there. I thought he said it was just him being magnificent.
for an hour plus.
The magnificent Matt. Yeah.
I didn't even let him know that we do a different topic each week or anything like that.
What did
I
just talk about?
I said, look, this is me chatting. And that got some ears pricked up.
I bet.
So far, they're loving it. We're about to destroy their view of the podcast by asking you to do a report on something.
I would listen to Matt talk for an hour.
Yeah, look, I'm going to maybe do an offshoot pod where it's just me chatting off the top of my head.
To yourself?
Chatting to myself. A little chat show. Not a lot of chat shows are just solo, are they? Interesting. I'm going to revamp the whole idea of chat.
Great.
People are going to start chatting, but not with others. I've just recapped what I'd already said.
I imagine that you're just giving us a demo of what the show will actually sound like.
This is most likely what it will be. A lot of circles.
Lots of recapping.
Yeah.
So to recap.
Anyway, as I was saying.
Matt, you're 30 seconds in. Well, as I was saying at the top.
I've got a real good topic this week.
I'm excited. Have you been? You've had a couple of weeks, obviously, on tour. Have you been riding on tour, or?
I've been reading and also riding on tour. Yes.
So the answer to the question was yes.
Ah, well, no. To be honest, I hadn't. But I at first I was truthful. Then I'm like, nah, lie.
Sorry, just a quick little
and
recap.
Then again, I was like, can't lie.
The answer's no.
No, I did reading though. I did do reading.
Well, we're excited for your report.
It's this topic gave me chills. I'll tell you about that soon.
Horror.
It was funny because there was just some of the early key bits of information were just like, oh, that's coincidental to my life. Anyway, I'll talk to you about them.
So
in
it's
a sec.
Set in the 1800s.
I've been alive since then. So anyway, the question this week, we always start with a question, which is how we get into the topic. This week's question is, what is Australia's greatest aviation mystery?
Oh,
Australian topic, which we don't do heaps of.
Doug Barry Cooper.
Doug Barry.
Oi, Doug. Oi, Bazza.
That's a really Aussie name.
Doug Barry
Doug
Cooper.
Doug Barry. That's great.
A paddock.
So he's drinking a Cooper's. He's loving it.
Aviation
mystery.
I wonder if you've heard of it. So I'm guessing you guys probably won't know this. No. Does this name mean anything to you? The Valentich disappearance.
Ooh.
No, but I love it.
Is this a mystery episode?
It is a mystery episode. Ooh. Which people love and hate.
Are you going to start the episode by talking in dot points like I do? Winter, 1936. A man approaches the beach.
He's
dies.
Wearing pants. He's wearing pants. The next day, he's found. No pants.
What happened to his pants? Find out next week on Do Go On.
I started writing it a bit like that, and then I went back into my...
The thing is,
I wanted to do it like Dave.
Yeah, but nobody can do it like Dave.
No one can do it like Dave.
I'm putting that on a t-shirt. The thing is with the mystery episodes is I think it's... they're frustrating when you get to the end and find out it's a mystery. I think it's slightly...
If you know.
Like, because then you're like, oh, cool, so I'm about to find out what happened. I'm intrigued. And then it's like, and they never found it. We're like, no! But knowing at the start that it's a bit mysterious, that just makes me excited for a story.
This was actually a topic suggested in Straight Out of the Golden Hat by Patreon supporter Zach Steinbacher. So he gets that by tipping heaps of cash into our account. For that, he gets the... access to the Golden Hat, which is an exclusive club. Only 10 can be in there at any one time.
And they're in there all the time.
They're in there all the time.
They take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
They just live in there, live in the hat.
Thanks, Zach.
It's a real big hat. Like I was saying, as I started researching, and I was like, it was late at night, I was by myself, and I was starting to go, oh, weird.
Yeah.
But I think it's like, you know, there are always going to be coincidences that you can find. So you guys tell me if these are or not. Let me read a couple of paragraphs. The first one I'll say it, and the second one I'll tell you what the coincidences are, and you can tell me if you think I'm full of shit or what. On the evening of the 21st of October 1978, Frederick Valentich set off on a training flight departing from Moorabbin Airport heading for King Island in Tasmania.
October 1978. That's how Dave would do it.
A destination... he would never arrive. Okay, so that's the thing. So now these are the coincidences. He set off on the 21st of October. My birthday is the 21st of October. From Moorabbin Airport. I grew up in Moorabbin. And he was flying to Tasmania, where I will be flying the day this episode comes out.
Okay, well, I'm clutching at straws at the last
Hang
one.
On, and will you be...
The day it comes out, I'm flying from...
Okay, yeah,
and will you be flying from an airport?
Yes!
Oh! That's it. That tipped it over the edge.
Yeah. But you're going to Tasmania, not King Island, which is an island off Tasmania.
It's what technically it's in Tasmania. It's part in the of Tasmania.
I'm aware that where it is, but I'm just saying.
I'm so that's a coincidence for sure.
So you wanted me to? Yeah, I mean, it would have been a real coincidence if I was if it was the 21st of October, yeah. 1978, and I was Frederick Valentich. So anyway, here we go. The 20-year-old Valentich flies out of Moorabbin Airport.
You've been 20 in your life.
That's true.
Allegedly.
Sorry.
No, to be honest, I skipped that one.
Good. From 19 to 21.
Did not want to cast aspersions.
Back in the 1640s, they didn't celebrate 20th birthdays.
Yeah. It was a leap birthday.
Yeah. That's true.
Sorry, Maddie. Do go on.
So he left at 6:19 p.m. flying a rented light aircraft, a Cessna 182L, which is a 4-seat light aircraft.
Hmm.
Oh, and how many people are on board?
He's flying solo.
Oh.
Flying solo.
It's way too big.
Yeah, he doesn't need those 3 extra seats. He just needed a glider.
So he's a young pilot, right? And basically, the idea is that this flight was just to help get his flying hours up. At this stage, he'd notched up approximately 150 hours in total in about a year of flying.
Oh, wow.
The sun sets at 6:43 p.m., but Valentich's restricted license mean he can fly at night when the visibility is above a certain level and the conditions are very clear on this evening.
Hmm.
Soon after 7 p.m, Valentich notices what he believes to be another aircraft flying above him. To check if this is the case, he radios the Melbourne Air Flight Service and speaks with air traffic controller Steve Roby. The conversation went a little something like this. I'm going to read out a bit of a transcript here. Right.
So it went exactly like this.
It went very much like this,
Can you do two different voices so we can differentiate between the characters?
Yeah, okay, great.
Or do a bit of like a over sort of thing too, so... Look, they I mean, do, take some credit.
Roger is said at one point, so I'll read the script and I'll try and do different voices.
Thank you.
Any requests of
just
voices?
I reckon make Steve Connell, oh yeah.
And the other one, always.
Steve Roby's the oh yeah. So he's so the air traffic control's
he's
oh yeah.
He's deeper great. And oh yeah.
Okay, great.
And the other one?
And the other one's a bit higher, he's a younger man.
Young guy.
Straight to Liverpool.
Straight.
Liverpool. Yeah, thank you.
Really? That's confusing.
We all want
to. He's a Melbourne man.
He's a big Beatles fan.
Well, he's an Australian anyway. Big Beatles fan. Okay, great. I mean, the Beatles only broke up 8 years earlier.
Exactly. He's still real.
Lennon is still alive.
When he was 12.
So it starts with Valentich. And Valentich is the guy. All right.
Is there any known...
Just do him normal.
What?
And then Steve's lower.
Is there any known traffic below 5,000 feet?
Sorry, I can't hear you. You're going to have to speak in a Liverpool accent because it's very, very hard, bad signal.
I'm from the Beatles.
There it is.
I'm from the Beatles. Is that you, Valentich?
No.
He starts every transmission with...
Is there any known traffic below 5,000 feet? No, that's 5,000 feet.
Yeah, great.
No,
Matt, just go with it. It's fine.
Is there any known traffic below 5,000 feet? No known traffic. I am. Seems to be a large aircraft below 5,000. What type of aircraft is it? I cannot confirm. It is four bright. It seems to me like landing lights. The aircraft has just passed over me at least 1,000 feet above. Roger, and it is a large aircraft, confirm? Unknown due to the speed it's traveling. Is there any Air Force aircraft in the vicinity? No known aircraft in the vicinity. It's approaching right now from due east towards me. It seems to me that he's playing some sort of a game. He's flying over me 2-3 times at a time at speeds I could not identify. Roger, what is your actual level? My level is 4,500, 4500. And confirm you cannot identify the aircraft. Affirmative. Roger, stand by. It's not an aircraft. It is... Can you describe the aircraft? As it's flying past, it's a long shape. I cannot identify more than that. It's at such speed. It is before me right now, Melbourne. And how large would the object be? It seems like it's stationary. What I'm doing right now is orbiting, and the thing is just orbiting on top of me also. It's got a green light and is sort of metallic. Like, it's all shiny on the outside. It's just vanished. Would you know what kind of aircraft I've got? Is it a military aircraft? Confirm the aircraft just vanished. Say again. Is the aircraft still with you? It's now approaching from the southwest. The engine is rough idling. I've got it set at 23, 24, and the thing is coughing. Roger, what are your intentions? My intentions are to go to King Island, Melbourne. That strange aircraft is hovering on top of me again. It is hovering, and it's not an aircraft. And there's silence for 17 seconds. And then there's an audible, unidentified staccato noise, which some have said sounded like scraping metal. That's the end of transcript. And with that, despite an intensive search of the air, sea, and land, Valentich was never heard from again, and his body never recovered.
Oh, my God.
Pretty sick, right? Real cool. So, yeah, I'm reading that.
Chills.
And yeah, I was having chills.
I've got chills and I can't... It could be a fever. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's always a fever with you.
Pray for Bob.
Oh, my... Wow.
So, that's the mystery.
Wow. Creepy.
So, I guess I'll now talk about some of the theories and whatnot.
I've got a theory.
Yeah? Early. All right, great. What do you reckon?
I don't know. Do I say it now? Do you want me to hold out? I want to hear... Maybe I need to hear more evidence. Or maybe I say it now and you convince me otherwise.
Yeah. No, I just want to hear what you think.
I reckon he's faking it.
Ooh.
And then just disappeared.
I was going to say, theory, faked his own death.
Faked his own death or, like, suicide.
Ah, that's...
But they would have found the plane, maybe.
They are a couple of the theories that have been put out there. Many theories have been put forward to try and explain the disappearance. Alien abduction.
Yeah.
Suicide. Staged disappearance. Drug-induced hallucination. But none have been able to be definitively proven.
Because they never found him or the plane.
Yeah, which makes it pretty hard.
Pretty hard to prove anything, to be honest.
Historian Reg Watson, who I really like.
Great name.
I knew that Jess would like this guy. But, he noted that he put his flight plan into Moorabbin, but he never told King Island Flight Service that he was coming. Therefore, they never had the lights on at the airport. This has given rise to two assumptions. One, that he planned his own mysterious departure. Or two, that it was a suicide. Which are the two that came to your mind?
Or what if he's just forgetful?
Well, I mean, you've done 150 hours worth. The main thing.
It's not very much, to be honest. 150 hours.
No, yeah. That's,
3 hours a week for a year. It's not very much.
It's seen as being quite inexperienced.
But, yeah, you'd think that, like, that. I figure when you're learning to fly, that's probably one of the first things that you double check.
Yeah, that the place you're flying to is ready for you. Yeah,
because that's, from my understanding, fairly important.
The first thing you do is make sure everyone stowed their tray tables. Thank you very much.
and keep their blind things up.
Yeah, blind up, for God's sake.
Yeah, that one always, I was like, ugh. I've been woken up to put that up before.
The blind up.
Like, oh, man.
Excuse me, sir.
Doesn't matter that much.
Sir, you'll kill us all.
The pilot can't operate in shade.
Oh, he hates the shade.
You'll kill us all.
He's already wearing sunglasses and he's not taking them off.
Is that what you want? Is that what you want? You want to kill us all?
Huh?
Madam, would you mind showing this man your infant?
Yeah.
Do you want to kill this child?
Hey, everyone! Row 7G wants to kill us all! that motivated him. Good. My job here is done.
Anybody for a Calippo? I was on a flight recently. They gave us Calippo.
I was going to say,
best.
I'd kill for a Calippo on a flight.
Yeah.
I think I know someone who was on that flight and they got woken up for the Calippo and they were not happy about it.
Fair enough.
I mean... I would have been happy to be working up for
Danielle?
A Calippo. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, she was on the same flight as me. Yeah.
She's like, no, I don't want a Calippo, and I do want that sleep back that you just stole from me.
Yeah.
Whoa. That is a hard choice, sleep or a Calippo.
It wasn't, like, because it's winter too, so I wasn't like, oh, a refreshing train. Also, it's always cold on planes.
Yeah, it's a weird one. I've never come across a mid-air Calippo.
Yeah.
You are terrible people if you're...
I took it.
You're
How dare you? I took it.
I'm not hating on it. I'm a pine, is it pine lime? I'm a big time yellow Calippo guy.
This one's a raspberry and something.
They're pretty good too.
They're pretty good.
Right.
Anyway.
Calippo's an ice cream if you don't have it overseas. I don't know.
It's more like an ice cream.
Icy pole, I should say.
Yeah. An ice treat.
A summery treat. Yeah. For many years after the disappearance, the government was very reluctant to release any information about the case to the public.
That's weird. Sorry.
Did that prick that pricked you up?
That definitely pricked
that got
my
your
ears.
Prick right up.
Oh.
That's weird.
Even Valentich's family was only given restricted access. For instance, Valentich's father was only allowed to hear the recording of his son's final conversation with Steve Roby after agreeing that no one else would hear the tape.
That's weird.
That's weird.
It does seem a bit weird, right? Because they've been a bit protective
I'd
of it.
I'd put it straight on Facebook. Can you imagine the likes you'd get on that? Imagine the sad so reacts. Oh. The hearts, the loves.
Son's taught. I'm like, yeah, you'd do that. Oh, hang on. Jesus.
I know, I was kidding. You're a sick fuck. I was sort of making a commentary about, you know, millennials. Anyway, you probably wouldn't get that because you're a million.
Yeah, I'm a millennial. Which is someone who lives for a million years.
You look great, though.
Thank you. Mm. It's all the vampire sucking I do.
What's that?
I suck vampires.
Oh.
Where do you suck them?
According to researcher Keith Basterfield.
Also good.
After following the case since the disappearance in 78 and attempting to access the case file, he was eventually told by the government in 2004 that the file had been lost or destroyed.
How do I say this?
Johnson took it home. Dog ate it.
Did a shit on it. The dog shat on the report.
Oh, actually, no, here it is here. Shit's still on it.
You want it?
It's yours if you want it. But oh, dog shit lover.
But you have to promise you won't show anyone this dog shit.
By a quirk of fate, though, he found the 315 page document years later when searching through an online National Archives index on an unrelated topic. The file has since been digitized and uploaded so people can read it on the archives website.
Do you reckon the government's like, fuck?
Yeah, because they just got someone, like, a temp in to do some data entry and they put up that that lost slash...
Accidentally took it out of the shred it file.
Yeah, and put it in the upload it file.
Basterfield noted upon uncovering the file that it revealed parts of an aircraft wreckage with partial serial numbers within the range of Valentich's were found in Bass Strait, which is the water body of water that is between Melbourne and Tasmania, 5 years after the disappearance. So not in complete numbers because you know it was a wreckage, but potentially were could have been. Anyway.
Was there any alien jizz on it?
And it was sopping wet with jizz.
Green jizz?
Green jizz.
There,
little
we bloody
green,
got him. We bloody gotcha.
Little green jizz.
That sounds like a Dolly Parton song.
I'd love to hear an impression.
Nah, I'm sick.
Oh. It started like it could have been. Nah, I'm sick. Little green jizz, working 9 to 5.
What a way
to take in the
jizzin'.
Way to make a jizzin'.
Little green jizz.
That's better. 2, 4, 7. Little green jizz.
The significance of this, the finding of the partial wreckage, according to Basterfield, is that it basically rules out the popular theory that the disappearance was staged. Right, he's saying, you know, if that was the wreckage, then this kind of rules out the fact that he's faked it. And
That he's actually secretly landed somewhere.
Flown off somewhere else.
Unless a few years later he's come back and trashed.
So good. I love that idea.
The airplane.
Yeah, because there's no way of knowing exactly what happened. Like, all these things are possibly possible.
Maybe.
Even something wild like that, which I love. He's living in the sky somewhere, and now he's making wreckages out of clouds. And he brings them back down via mystic dust.
Yeah, I'm with you so far.
Mm.
And then he just, you know, et cetera.
So ultimately he just stole a plane. That's what we're really talking about.
Yeah, he's hired that plane. That'd be annoying for the owner.
Real annoying.
You never hear about the real victim. Mr. Cessna.
So that's if you
he got the report. His secretary came in. Like, oh, excuse me, Mr. Cessna. I'm so sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Another one of your planes has been stolen / missing.
Oh, not again! Mm-hmm. Bloody King Island, I bet.
That is correct, sir, yes.
Those fucking cows.
So do you? So you're thinking that he did... You're still thinking maybe he did steal it and he's just staged it or faked it?
I don't think his plan was like, free plane! I think it was like stage his death and he's living as a little hermit somewhere on an island near King Island,
like
which
in
is
a,
all
in
Tasmania.
A big shell and he like comes out like this sometimes.
He's not a hermit crab. Oh. There's a difference.
Less of these.
Less pincers, yes.
Pincers. And more...
Pizzas. He's got a beautiful wood fire oven.
Oh, wow.
In his shack. I mean, it's like a, it looks quite rough from the outside. Just like a, you'd probably almost miss it just driving along the road because it's sort of just wooden. But you go inside, what he's done with it. Modern bathroom and kitchen. Most beautiful splashback. The bench tops.
So 58. So what, he'd be 58 now. No, 58, 59.
Yeah. So he's in his retirement, or coming up to.
He's retired from
being a hermit,
plane hoaxing.
And he's just been doing up his home so that he can sort of be comfortable there. And it's just beautiful. But yeah, sorry, but the point that I was making was that he has a wonderful wood fire oven. He's really, it took some time, but he's really perfected the traditional margarita.
Which is a very simple.
Simple, but that's how the Italians like it. You know?
There is doubt over who Margarita was.
Uh-huh.
Dave, you know much about this?
No, please tell me more.
No, that's all I remembered. I really hope you'd take it from there.
Well, we can look
I think
into
one of them
day.
Was maybe a queen or something. Or like some sort of some noteworthy person, and someone else thinks it's something quite different.
I feel like I should know that because Margarita pizza is probably my favourite food in the world. And I think you should know the history of your favourite food.
Yeah, I think you
if you're that
too.
Passionate about yeah. it, which I am.
That's why I know all about
Paschetti.
Yeah, comes from Paschetti in Pakenham.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it was invented about 30 odd years ago.
Yeah, just east of Pakenham.
Yeah.
Dave, your favourite food and the history of it?
Ooh, it's really hard to say. Probably a pie.
Oh, yeah, good call. Yep, history of the pie.
Given such a simple dish, was given a simple 3-letter name.
Invented by.
So,
invented by.
That is
Sir
quite a history.
Frederick Pie.
Hmm.
In 1742, I believe.
43, very close.
How it's not my favourite dish. So
of course not.
So the significance of the wreckage, according to Bassfield, was saying how it debunked that popular theory about the staging of the disappearance. He said to the Adelaide Advertiser, "There was a lot of public speculation at the time of a hoax disappearance, but there is nothing in the 315 pages that even suggests that."
Yeah, but these are government documents, and they've tried to cover it up, Bassrate.
So you think they're covering up him stealing the plane? Why would the government cover that up?
No, but I don't
understand why they might cover up a
no. Maybe
military thing.
Maybe it was still military. This the military thing caused him to crash, and that's why the wreckage is
right.
there.
Right. Okay.
Maybe it was a military plane, and the military boys were a little bit drunk, and so they were just sort of fucking with him. They were just sort of like when. Teenagers hoon a little bit and they drag race. Maybe the military plane was like, yeah, you want to, and yeah, then he spiraled and crashed and they went, run, you know?
Yeah, they were like,
and they tried to run and they
that green light he saw was actually the signal to go in the race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he fucked it.
He fucked just, it. He didn't go.
Mm.
He
and then lost his pink slip.
Orbiting. We're playing for pinks. the other popular theory that Watson and Perkins both mentioned was that the young pilot committed suicide.
For a second, I was like, did you mention a Perkins in this story and I missed it? He's talking about me.
You've just written yourself into the report. Doesn't take a lot to become an expert in my reports. Someone said sometime.
Suicide.
So, but apparently suicide, that theory has widely been put to bed based on transcripts of many interviews with family and friends of Valentich. And also some people I was reading out have since talked to family and friends and said they basically go, there's no signs he was suicidal. Which is interesting that they could put that to bed based on interviews, because often don't you hear of people saying you're taken by surprise?
They're often so surprised. But even I guess, with like famous people, like when Chris Cornell died last month or the month before.
That's right, but maybe if it was a psychologist talking to people, maybe they could uncover signs that laymen couldn't or something.
Yeah, but it's also the late 70s too. Not to say that they, like, obviously, I feel like it's probably improved. Our understanding of mental health is probably improved now.
Yeah.
We're more aware of it now, so maybe we'd be looking for more signs or more things would stick out.
I reckon often these things that are put to bed are by an expert who's trying to push forward their theory as well. So they're going, I've ruled that out. That's obviously being ruled out.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if it fully... How can you fully...
I'm ruling aliens in.
I found a partial... Rule them in. Found a partial serial number that could have been it. So that rules out that he...
Yeah. Or they want to be the one that's the expert that's talking about later. It. Yeah, I know why.
Yeah.
So it's like, mate, you're a gardener and you've been on Google for 4 hours. You are not the expert.
I should probably note that while Bassefield has dedicated his life to researching UFOs.
Gardener/4 hours.
In this advertiser article, they call Bassefield an expert researcher of public documents. And it also says that he does not believe in UFOs. Because I was reading it going, of course you think that, mate. You're just trying to tell us that this is a UFO. But apparently he doesn't believe in UFOs. He's just...
So he spent his life investigating something he doesn't believe in?
Yeah, trying to sort of debunk them. I think he's like, he's a skeptic, and I think is, as I understand, Bassefield is a skeptic. Which I read a few skeptics in here.
Right, so he's the anti-Fox Mulder.
Yeah. Also the anti, what was that guy you had? The ufologist?
Oh, the ufologist. Ufologist. What is that guy's name?
He was great.
He was a great character.
I can see his face. Yeah. It's still funny.
But with that in mind, Bassefield noted that that it was the case's investigators rather than Valentich who labelled it an unidentified flying object. In the transcript, you would notice that Valentich never mentions aliens. He's asking what aircrafts are around, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it was in the investigation that government investigators were the ones who were talking about it being a UFO.
Well, what was spooky that he was saying it's not an aircraft?
Yeah.
That was creepy, like, yeah.
What do you mean?
What is it then?
Yeah. Oh, man, I loved it. This is why it's grabbed people's attention, I guess.
Yeah.
Is because it's... Yeah, I think that transcript is probably the key to it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he disappeared mid...
Yep.
Chat.
Yeah, mid-conversation.
So it's kind of interesting that Valentich never mentions aliens in that in conversation because apparently he was super fascinated by them.
Oh.
So according to a report written by James Magaya and Joe Nickel, for the Skeptical Inquirer in 2013... Magar and Nickel wrote that Fred Valentich was enthralled with UFOs, watching films and accumulating articles, going on to say that, according to his father, Valentich had himself observed a UFO moving away very fast earlier in the year.
Oh.
So he was a UFO guy himself.
Okay.
Which explains some stuff, I think. So as a big believer, Magar and Nickel think this is important, as it may suggest that rather than happening upon a UFO... Maybe Valentich went looking for one, which obviously is quite a different thing.
Hmm.
If this is the case, they suggest that his so-called encounter was not surprising. And they quote noted skeptic and Mensa member, Robert Schaefer, who said that as Valentich was a true believer, he was probably inclined to assume anything was a UFO if he could not immediately identify it.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Which I find interesting because if that's the case, he's not going, holy shit, is this a UFO? He's going, I don't know what it is. Like, he was sounding very level-headed about it.
Yeah, true.
So that kind of is, all that seems to not quite be consistent to me.
Yeah, you're right. He would have been like, oh, I've got one.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, that's weird.
Yeah. Hey, come on, send people over here. I've got a thing
Melbourne!
To check out. Yeah.
Instead of being like, do you guys know of any planes? Because there's something up here. You sure? Nothing? Hmm? Yeah.
Unless what you were saying before, maybe he's like going up there to try and manufacture one, but why would he do that and, you know, why would he do that and then crash?
Yeah, well,
or
yeah.
What? It's very bloody intriguing, I tell you. On top of this, they paint Valentich as a fairly ordinary pilot, which I suppose is to be expected as he was a relatively inexperienced flyer. But in his short time as a pilot... having obtained a private pilot license in September 1977, so just over a year earlier, and he was studying part-time for a commercial pilot's license. But again, quoting Schaefer's research, Magaya, getting that name wrong for sure, and Nickel suggest he had failed all 5 of his exam subjects, not once but twice, and just the month before, again failed three subjects. So, I mean, I don't know what kind of rules there were back then. But doesn't it feel like you'd almost... How do you still have a license to fly by yourself?
So those are his... Hang on. Those are his exams when he's studying to be to a commercial.
A commercial pilot, yeah. So I guess that's another level.
Yeah.
From a little Cessna Joy flyer.
So he's still got his license to fly the little ones.
Yeah.
But they're like, no, you can't handle... So it's kind of like you and I having car licenses and then trying to get in a semi-trailer.
Yeah,
and
right.
They go, probably not. And we go, nah, go on.
Nah, look at me, reverse this back. Oh, I've jackknifed it again. Oh,
it's on fire.
I've ruined this truck.
Aliens.
Where's that truck been again? I can't. Don't expect me to drive it into it. But can someone else, please? On top of this, he once received a warning for straying into restricted airspace. And was twice cited for deliberately flying blindly into a cloud, for which he was under threat of prosecution, apparently.
What, say that again?
He flew into a cloud.
Twice he was cited for deliberately flying blindly into a cloud.
Wait, hang on, how do you... I mean, like...
Oi, mate, you're going to have to pay for that cloud.
They're just up there. They're just up there. How do you not
fly through
them?
It's like he's veered into them or something. You've got... It's like he's gone out of his way to go through it.
But it's just a cloud.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you avoid them? Right. Are you supposed to dodge them? Because that would mean that we could not fly very often into Melbourne.
Right, I'm afraid China owns that cloud and they're really pissed off.
Yeah. China's cloud.
I'm quoting a guy who's in Mensa, all right?
No, I'm not doubting. I'm just confused. Well, clouds just exist.
My phone is backed up to the cloud and if he drove through my photos, I'd be fucking pissed. He's just ruined me album.
What are all your photos of, Dave?
You don't need to know that.
Your weird eyes were funny there.
Oh, stop looking at me.
It's like he's having flashbacks to his own photos.
You're stealing my photos. Get out of the cloud. Get out of me, cloud. Oi, put him down.
Put him down?
Yeah, take him out.
You got a photo of a little boy.
Oh, no, he's taking him. Back to his lair on King Island. Little bastard.
I'm so confused.
Oh, it's a mystery, I tell you. It's a bloody mystery this week. Everything we say.
They drew the conclusion anyway from all that he may have been an accident waiting to happen.
Because
he loves flying into clouds.
He loves it.
Who's letting him... Like, obviously, if you don't know Australian geography, to get from Melbourne to King Island, you have to fly over quite a lot of water. And you're no good at flying.
It's not that far.
No, yeah. If we caught a Qantas flight or something, it would take us about half an hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's less than an hour.
You guys listening straight away, I'll be in the air right now.
That's nice.
Flying through Dave's cloud.
Get out! Just stop!
No, I'm not.
Just stop it!
I'm going to get up there. I'm going to get there with a USB.
Fuck, just don't look at my apps. All my data.
We're going to check out Dave's data.
Fucking hell.
So little, just like him.
What sort of apps have you got that you don't want us to see?
Go away, Mum. You wouldn't understand.
Get out of it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Jess, before you jump in, Dave, can you say entrepreneurs again? It sounds so good.
Entrepreneurs.
Oh my God.
God, he's good.
Jeez.
If it feels a bit overwhelming to start your own website, don't worry. You can get help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI. Generating instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. You explain what your site's about, you choose your tone, you enter what you need, and you get short and long form text. How cool is that?
Oh my God, can Squarespace just do my life?
It would be good if it could do my taxes.
Hey, you can easily manage your clients and invoices. Two things that I definitely have, from vetting leads to receiving payment via invoices in one streamlined and customizable workflow.
Sorry, Matt, can you pronounce streamlined for me again?
Streamlined.
Beautiful.
Was that closer?
Yeah, in that it was the word.
Okay.
And not streamlined. You can also sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell membership or courses, or you can sell files that your customers can download, like PDFs, music, ebooks.
Right, Jess, can I just get you to say the word courses again?
Courses.
Nailed it. Head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/dogoon.
Oh my God.
None of that really explains the mysterious aircraft he saw, though, does it? It just explains that maybe he might have crashed. Mm. But what happened just before that? That you can't say, oh, he loved flying in a cloud, so he, I don't know, somehow saw a... I don't know. The consensus seems to be that he wasn't making it up, though, that he saw something. It's just people like Schaefer, Maguire and Nickel are suggesting that maybe he saw something very explainable and leapt to conclusions. So what did he see? Maguire and Nickel...
Nailed it.
...reckon they have nutted it.
Reckon they have no idea. And here's their opinion.
End of episode.
Going as far to title this article I've been quoting, "The Valentich Disappearance, Another UFO Cold Case Solved."
Oh. Wow, they solved it.
That's bold.
That is bold. But hey, you got to be in this media.
But it's a co-write between the two of them?
It's a co-write.
Okay, good.
I love how it starts out. He goes, "One of us, Nickel, was asked to look into the case for a television show, and he queried the other, Maguire, who came up with the missing piece of the puzzle, as perhaps only someone who was both a pilot and astronomer could do."
What a combo.
Anyway,
I'm a pilot who loves to look at the stars.
It's just like, we're just asked looking at a TV show and we bloody nutted it. I figured it out.
They asked us to co-write an episode of Baywatch and we accidentally solved an alien mystery.
And it's the article's full of stuff where it's like, so this probably means, and that you can assume that.
Yeah, right.
And then it leads to, but we've, it's so funny how confident it's. It's a little clickbaity, but it's interesting because it's from a publication called The Skeptical Inquirer. But it's like, if real skeptics wouldn't be going, "We reckon there's probably like you couldn't say it isn't, so I reckon it is. We figured it out.
We there flipped a coin, and there here we are."
So the article says, "As it happens, a computer search of the sky for that day, time, and place of Valentich's flight reveals that the four points of bright light he would almost certainly have seen were the following." Almost certainly.
Hmm.
"Venus, which was at its very brightest. Mars, Mercury, and the bright star Antares," or Antares, or it's probably Antares. Antares. "These four lights would have represented a diamond shape, given the well-known tendency of viewers to connect the dots, and so could well have been perceived as an aircraft or UFO. In fact, the striking conjunction was shaped as a vertically elongated diamond, thus explaining Valentich's saying of the UFO that it is a very long shape. As to the UFO's other characteristics, the metallic or shiny appearance could have been due to the power of suggestion alone. Having connected the dots, Valentich would likely have gone on to fill in the area as solid, even metallic. We must remember that Valentich's impressions of those of someone who was confused about what he was seeing." That's hardly definite stuff, is it?
That's
a whole lot of...
It's concrete.
So we reckon, probably filled it in.
Yeah.
And, like, have you ever looked at this... Like, even if you were a bit dizzy or whatever, you look up at the stars and you're like, oh, yeah.
That's the stars.
There's that big chunk of night sky in between the stars. Looks like a metallic spaceship to me.
Also, I love the power of suggestion on himself.
Yeah.
Usually use that on other people. It's like, he employed Oprah's The Secret, asked for an alien, and there it was. Case closed.
Yeah, I just don't quite buy it. I mean, it's a theory. I accept also, maybe a possible theory, but it's like, to title your thing, nutted it. They didn't title it nutted it, but they may have bloody nutted it. That's what they were doing at the pub that night. We bloody nutted it, boys.
Slam down the publication on the pool table. But what do you reckon? What about the bit when he's like, it's coming at me, like it's playing chicken? Like,
so the way they sort of suggested that it, rather than it moving in relation to him, it was more him moving in relation to it.
Oh, so he was the aggressor in the situation.
Well, they would think, yeah, that's what they thought. When it looked like it was moving fast, it was, you know, I don't, stars in the sky don't really seem to move like that, do they?
No.
No.
And I don't, like, he's in this, like, how is he looking up sort of, anyway?
Yeah, look where you're going. Jeez Louise.
Could that have, is that why he crashed? Because he was distracted?
That's kind of what, that is part of their theory that I do totally buy.
Yeah.
I think that their assertion that Fred Valentich's UFO has now been identified should be probably rephrased to Fred Valentich's UFO has now had another unprovable theory thrown into the mix. But I do think, yeah, there is some merit in the idea that he was distracted by something that he thought was a UFO, you know, and that distraction paired with his inexperience as a pilot led to a crash and his death disappearance. There is a theory that he was so disorientated that he may have been flying upside down, and that the lights and aircraft he was seeing was actually the image reflection of his own aircraft reflecting back up the ocean. And if I could get my head around that as an idea that you could be upside down flying and not knowing it, then I reckon that makes a lot of sense to me.
It would make sense.
There's a green light on his plane.
Yeah, but how could you be upside down and not realize?
That's the only thing that I can't. Apart from that, I'm like, that feels like my favorite of the theories.
I think visually, if you're in full pitch darkness and there's ocean and sky, probably couldn't tell. But gravity still affects you.
Yeah, gravity, right?
So you're
not
aware.
Like 0G or anything.
No,
are you? Your sunglasses have fallen off your head.
You're pressing up into your harness a lot.
Yeah, right. Is that the case?
Because you're hanging upside down.
I've never been in a small aircraft, so I don't really know. But in my head,
but
I'm like, it
it's
feels
the same
like
as
you'd
like
know.
A big aircraft. You know when the plane turns and you can feel that you're turning?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Right. There's no way you could be dizzy and just like losing oxygen or some other weird thing that's led to him.
He's not high up enough.
Right.
I don't think. I mean, I'm no expert, but I've seen Top Gun.
And I nearly finished it. I hope Goose gets out okay.
I love Goose.
He's a good guy.
Is he Tom Cruise? Or is he Maverick?
He's the one that gets
Who's Iceman?
He's the one that gets ejector seat. And it doesn't open and he breaks his neck straight away.
He's a goose.
And he is gone.
Bloody goose. He's the one with great balls of fire.
Is it the goose of fire?
Yeah. All right.
Great goose of fire.
Great goose of fire. Oh, he flames up.
Mate, yeah. I haven't finished it, all right?
Roast goose for dinner.
Don't ruin
spoiler
it for me.
Spoiler alert. Let's not spoil another thing. Dave, a few weeks back...
We will move on. I don't want to dwell on it because I spoil it again.
Well, I'm not going to say what, but there was a Poirot case that Dave absolutely ruined for at least one listener. I think maybe multiple.
No, two people emailed in, but let's not dwell on it. I don't want any more emails because it made me feel like a bad guy.
Because you're a bad guy. Jess and I both warned you at the time.
I explicitly said, Dave, you're going to get upwards of two emails about this. And you said, fuck off, Jess.
Fuck you. I'll do what I want.
Yeah, that's what you said. You can roll back the tape, mate.
Anyway, I reckon...
All right, there's another Poirot case where it turns out the whole key to it is a lady says that she got pricked by a rose.
Uh-huh.
But the type of thorn, that rose that she's talking about, doesn't have thorns.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, fuck. Hey,
got you,
good.
Bitch.
That's a great mystery.
And we've got you.
Boom, and I'm gone.
So I reckon in all my extensive research over the last few weeks,
uh-huh,
I reckon that is probably that's nearly my favourite theory.
Upside down.
Nearly, but of course, it isn't quite. My favourite theory is that it was a mother flipping UFO.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Back to historian Reg Watson.
Reg.
Who we started out talking about earlier.
By the way, Reg in my head is like a portly fellow with a white beard.
Oh, yeah.
No?
Santa?
I haven't seen him, but I'm picturing clean shaven. He's portly, but he's got white hair and maybe a wide brim hat.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely glasses.
Probably shorts.
Yeah.
And like a shirt tucked in.
Yeah, definitely. Oh,
and
I love
maybe
him.
Some sort of like, he's got things on his belt that could come in handy.
He's wearing a tool belt.
No. Compass, pocket knife.
Reg is the best.
Yeah, Reg is real great.
Cool.
I love Reg. Mm. I mean, I've made all that up, but I love our Reg.
Yeah.
even if it's not the real Reg.
I love him.
So Reg Watson was interviewed on ABC Radio in Hobart. And he said that he's been researching the disappearance, this is a quote, for gosh, 3 decades.
Gosh.
For gosh.
Classic Ridge.
3 decades, which I
love him.
I have to say, in my opinion,
yeah,
he had an encounter with a UFO. And I don't say that lightly.
But I do say it every night to my wife.
Night, honey. Love you. He saw a UFO.
Yes, Reg, we all know.
All I know, in the broad terms of a UFO, an unidentified flying object, that causes demise. I think that's fair.
That's definitely what
that doesn't even mean alien, though.
Not yet. For months prior to the disappearance, lights in the sky, cigar-shaped objects were seen from King Island. And I've spoken to witnesses on the northwest coast of Tasmania who actually saw craft on the day 15 minutes before he went missing. Watson also noted that there were numerous reports of UFO sightings in 1978.
Big year for UFOs.
It's been called the biggest flap in Australia's history.
Flap?
Which I'd never heard that term before.
What does that mean?
And I didn't even look it up because I'm like...
Nah, I reckon Kennelly's the biggest flap in Australia's history.
I think it means... It just means a clump of sightings or activity.
Flap.
A flap.
Love it.
Show
us your flaps.
Show us your flap.
Go on, alien.
History.
Alien, show us your flap. Come on, I bet you don't have any guts, do you? If you don't show us your flaps.
Sightings were seen not only from Tasmania, they were seen as far away as South Australia, right through the coast of Western Australia, even up to the coast of New South Wales.
That's far away from Tasmania.
That's a long way away. Anyway,
we're talking like thousands of miles.
I read that a lot of these things came out after the disappearance made a lot of news.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and along with the sort of news that there was an unidentified planet, and then all of a sudden people were like, yeah, I saw something.
Yeah. Convenient.
Green light? Yeah, I saw a green light. Apparently, a lot of it came out afterwards.
Mm.
People who, so, you know, they're not necessarily lying, but I reckon if you at any point go, there was a mysterious disappearance, then all of a sudden people go, oh, I knew I saw something. I swear I saw it. And then they call in when otherwise they might be like, nah, it was probably nothing.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden something confirms it in their mind or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm saying something very smart there. A coronial inquiry into the disappearance in 1982 returned an open verdict with Valentich listed as missing.
Open and shut.
Presumed dead.
Oh.
But the official Department of Transport investigation report stated that it seems likely that the aircraft did not crash in the sea between Cape Otway and King Island, which is where he was thought to be at the time, which is... You know, whether that says that maybe he was, like Jess was saying before, flying off somewhere else, or if an alien took him, or, you know, it could mean all sorts of things.
Or if he's a shit pilot and doesn't know where he is.
Apparently another interesting thing in this was that the Department of Transport, some government departments for the first time in some of these researchers, in all their time researching, it was the first time a government body actually asked to investigate further into the UFO. Which is interesting as well. So someone in Australia at the time was like, I reckon it could be bloody something. According to a News Corp story, so you know it's of a good quality journalism, air traffic controller Steve Roby, the man who was last chatting to him, has been quoted as saying, if he suffered disorientation and crashed into the water, you'd think they would have found a lot of debris.
Yeah.
Surely there would have been something found during the intense searches, oil or something. Roby said NASA analysts had assessed the audio transcript and found Valentich to be under genuine stress, which led him to believe the UFO theory.
Oh, wow.
Which is interesting. I thought Roby, like the air traffic controller, this guy's the man of sense, which only throws more weight into my belief that this was. I mean, UFO, like you were saying, broadly meaning unidentified flying object.
Doesn't necessarily mean...
Little green man or anything like that.
Little green jizz.
And the simple fact was there was so much activity at the time in sightings. This is what Roby was saying. So that's interesting. Anyway, that's basically it. So there's... I haven't helped you at all, have I? But I'd love to hear your thoughts, but just to finish off, I guess. His family erected a memorial plaque on Cape Otway in 1998, which was unveiled by Steve Roby.
Air traffic controller.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I suppose it would play on your mind forever.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's been a blast to speak to someone as well.
Yeah.
And it's interesting if that's true, what he believes that NASA looked into the tape, because the tape's now been lost as well. You can't hear the tape anymore.
Oh.
Although they did think the report had been lost. It'll as well. So it may well turn up. Apparently it was played on, I read somewhere that it was played on AM radio in Victoria at some point in Melbourne.
Sounds
years ago.
So AM radio.
Yeah. But that transcript, I think, is without that, this would be a lot less fascinating. But it's just the way it was coming and going.
Yeah.
And he fully believed it. But it sounded like a lot of people thought, depending on their theories, the ones that thought he was distracted and ended up dying. It sounded like some of the things about the plane coughing and stuff like that meant that he was in a what's called a graveyard spiral, which is you're getting lower and, you know, you're going round and round, basically diving into the cycling downwards
to
your death.
But possibly not realizing it.
Yeah, possibly not realizing it. Yeah. Wow. That's why it was like spluttering and stuff.
I suppose that if you saw something and you were like, oh, look, it's there. It's there. It's coming and going. If you're in a spin.
And especially if that what you're seeing is the reflection of the water, but like we were saying, we're not sure that how could he be upside down and not know it. But I don't know enough about science to know if that is possible or not.
Nah, I feel like you'd know if you're upside down.
What's your best theory, Jess?
Faked it.
Faked
still,
it.
Still, yeah.
You reckon he's off somewhere else?
Yeah.
Pizza oven.
Yeah, pizza oven.
I love it.
Yeah, he's just living a quiet life. That's what he wanted.
I'm into that as an idea.
Yeah, I like that.
That's the nicest one, I think.
No, I'm the nicest one on this podcast. We can all agree with that. Dave, your theory?
I think that he probably just freaked out.
No, I meant your theory about me being the nice. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, go on.
I think he just I don't know what the lights that he was seeing were.
Mm.
I think that he probably thought he was seeing something, but he just crashed. And they always say, like, surely we'd find something, but you just don't understand how big the ocean is.
It's quite vast.
Even a small, relatively small area between Melbourne and Tasmania.
Yeah, there's
so
been...
big. It's so big.
And if it sinks, right?
Sink. It's a long small way down. Four seat Cessna. It's about the size of this room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
I guess
it's the size of a Cessna.
Cessna, which is pretty big. It's bigger than a normal
room. But yeah, I think that he totally could have just actually, you know, crashed and died. Sadly. And
they just haven't found him.
Possible you never find him.
Yeah, definitely aliens.
I mean, there's 747 planes out there.
What are you trying to hide, Jess?
Nothing. Bleep, bloop, bloop.
And Matt, your theory?
He said aliens.
Yeah, aliens. Aliens. I think it was aliens upside down until he saw
himself.
Thought it was an alien. Which is a weird play by the aliens.
Mm.
But that's what they wanted, because they work in mysterious ways.
Right. They wanted him to think aliens, but not see that right aliens.
Yeah, because the real aliens, if he saw the real ones, he would have really bloody got an eyeful.
And then what did they do with him?
Oh, they probed his butt. Okay. Of course they did.
Of course they did. Classic aliens.
Yeah.
Always
love
probing.
Love a good probe. A lot of information up there.
Yeah, that's...
I guess.
Yeah, that's the
yeah,
first
place. Why
are they
obsessed with bowels?
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's the secrets of humanity are up there. Up the butt.
That's the most you.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where alien brains are, and they just assume that ours are in poo hole.
Well, to them, it's not a poo hole.
Of course not.
It's a think hole, not a stink hole.
Hashtag think hole, not a stink hole.
I wonder if our Golden Hat patron himself, Zach Steinbacher, has some theories.
Oh, I reckon he's got to, right? He's got to.
Or if anyone else out there, because do you reckon it's a famous thing if you are a Tasmanian?
I think it's actually, it's pretty famous around the world. There's a lot of research, a lot of papers into this. It really captured the attention. I think a lot of that is, like I say, because of that transcript.
The recording, yeah, because
yeah,
he said what he said. And that's it. Let's leave it at that.
It's bloody interesting. I've thought about this the other day. If when you die, you get to ask a few questions. Immediately, my question is, did D.B. Cooper survive? What happened at Dyatt Love Pass? And I'm just going to... Well, I was going to ask what's the meaning of life, but that's just gone out the window. I'm going to have to ask what happened to bloody Valentich.
Let's die together.
Oh, yeah. Then we'll, do then we only have three? Six. Do we only have three questions?
That's three questions. Three
so eight. You two are dying and not me. Is that what you're saying?
You want to come with?
Well, yeah, I'm not living here without you.
Does that mean we get nine, or is there some sort of a thing where like you multiply of each other? So it's three by three by three. That'd be sick if you could like group them up.
Well, it's three cubed.
Three cubed would be real good. We could get some answers.
We'd only know for ourselves. Like, we wouldn't even be able to tweet the answers back to our listeners. So is that worth it? Is that worth knowing?
Fine with me. I just want to know.
Sure.
Yeah.
And today you hold yourself above the listeners.
I'd find out if Burke and Wills should have split the party one more time. That's what I'd ask.
If they'd only split the party once more, would they be fine? Oh, man. There's so many questions. I just want to know. Who was Jack the Ripper? Who was Zodiac Killer?
Have you seen that new theory that someone sent in? That
we've had multiple people send it
in. Yeah, right. But I love how... So there's a theory that Jack the Ripper and H.H. Holmes is the same person, and the research is being done by H.H. Holmes's great nephew or something.
Oh, creepy.
Is that right? I should have really clicked harder on that link. Is that how you get more information out of it?
Yeah, click hard.
Yeah, I think the theory is that H.H. Holmes... Or Jack the Ripper possibly could have moved to America at the right time.
Yeah.
And stopped killing at the right time.
It's just interesting that it was a similar time at all.
And if you haven't heard those episodes, we've done them all before.
Yeah, you should go back and listen to them. They're also on YouTube, on youtube.com/dogoonpod.
Oh, while we're here, let us mention that after many, many weeks of editing away... Just now, today, if you're listening to the day it came out, we have uploaded and released the video of us with Nick Mason live at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, our Loch Ness Monster episode that we filmed. So it's 50 minutes of good times on there. Go check it out now, youtube.com/dogoonpod. Have a watch. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks great. Good job, Dave.
Couple of times the camera cut out, but don't worry. With the magic of editing, I trust you won't even notice. So just check it out. It's fun what I did. So have a look.
It's fun what I did.
What I did back there.
What I did was fun.
It's fun what I did.
It's fun what you did.
Before we go, Dave, we should really thank some of our patrons.
We should thank our patrons, apart from Zach Steinbacker, everyone else who supports us at patreon.com/dogoonpod. Now, I would like to thank, first of all, now someone who... We must apologize to you first, and to anyone that we may have missed thanking. What we do is we thank the people in the order that you have subscribed to us on patreon.com. And it's not as easy as you would like to think to list the pledges in order. So we apologize if we have missed you. Someone who let us know that we have missed them, they've been contributing for many a month now, and we'd like to thank, all the way from Hong Kong, Jai Smith.
Jumpin' Jai. Big Jai fan.
Big Jai fan, big Smith fan, me.
He's a constant...
Inspiration.
And communicator.
And support.
Yeah.
He's a there constant when we need him. Warmth in my heart.
Isn't it cool to know that someone in Hong Kong really likes us?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. It's cool to know that people anywhere really like us, Jai, to be honest.
Jai, are you a very wealthy person? Because they always talk about the most expensive places to live for property. Hong Kong's always number one.
Huh.
Where's above... New York. Where's above what, London?
Bloody Melbourne's prizes.
Yeah. Melbourne, we are trying to catch up with you. We are trying.
Yeah, are we? They're doing their best.
Damn it.
Yeah, no, it sucks.
I don't want to win that race.
Sucks for everyone else. So, good on you, Jai Smith. I'd also like to thank... Can I do two?
Oh my God, yes.
Because I love my peep so much. He's also part of my crew. What does Taylor Swift have? What's she have? Like a gang or something?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
A posse? A clique?
It's a crew. It's their... I don't know what they call
it. Fuck, we're old.
Yeah.
Well, he's part of my posse, my clique, my crew. Taylor Swift. No, she's born in 1989. I know that because her album is called 1989. But I would like to thank...
Yeah, so we're younger than her.
No, she's born in 1989. You meant we're older.
The maths guy.
You thought I meant the opposite of what I said.
Well, that's often true, though. Let's be honest. Right, and you did just say... off air before we started that you have a fever.
I do have a fever. I'm very cold right now.
I would like to thank, all the way from Toronto, it is Stuart Alcock. Possibly Stuart Alcock.
It's probably Alcock.
Look,
even if it's Alcock, he probably says Alcock.
Alcock.
Well, he probably says like Alco, you know? It's like
I know I'm usually good at making like jokes out of people's names, but I just get to Alcock and I've just drawn a blank. So I'd just like to thank a sincere thank you.
Just shot a blank.
I just shot a blank. out of my allcock. Thank you, Stuart.
There's a place in Western Australia that's called, it's spelt Cockburn, but it's pronounced Coburn. So maybe he's Alco, which is not good either.
Oh, Alco. Stuart the Alco.
Stuart the Alco. Hey, if I may have a go at thanking people, would that be okay?
That'd be real good.
Oh, awesome. Well, we did notice on our, when we did that live video on Facebook, we had a lot of Connors. A lot of Connors on there.
Oh, I think it's our most popular name.
I think it seems to be. And one that was definitely active that day and has been a supporter of us for quite a long time, all the way from Santa Monica. I want to thank Connor Jamison.
Oh, Connor Jamison. He's also a frequent tweeter.
Yeah, you're an absolute champ, Connor. Thank you so much for all of your support. And I'd also like to thank, again, if I may, and this one gives you boys an opportunity to do an accent that I cannot do.
Which is?
From Somerset in the UK.
Somerset.
There we go.
Somerset.
I'm from Somerset.
That's not bad.
Hello, I'm Michael Caine, and I am not from Somerset, as far as I know.
Well, I would like to thank Will White.
Wow, that's a cool name.
Have a go at saying Will White in a Somerset accent.
Will White. I'm bailed, eh?
Will White.
Will White.
Somerset. Somerset. Will White.
Wow, why?
He went Somerset. Kind of southern there. Southern Belle. But anyway, thank you so much, Will, for supporting us and being from Somerset.
Somerset.
You're our number one patron from Somerset.
There we go.
Do we have time to thank any more?
I'm afraid not.
Yeah, Maddie, go on. You have a go.
I've had to look up. I've looked this up, and I don't know if this is right, but the pronunciation of this guy's name. I would have, if I was having a crack at it myself, I would have said Ian Geoghegan. But I've looked it up, and it's actually Ian Geoghegan, so which is quite different.
How do you spell Geoghegan?
Geoghegan.
Your teeth clicking when you spell that out. G-A-A-A-A-A-A.
But isn't that interesting?
Wow.
How do you get Geoghegan from that?
Is it
Geoghegan? Unless it's one of those joke things that's messing with me.
Where's Ian from?
He is from...
Is that Welsh?
Colorado.
Definitely Colorado Welsh. Springs. So yes to the Welsh question. Just say yes when I ask, is he Welsh? Don't have to be a smart ass.
He could well
be. We all know Colorado was the capital of Wales.
He could well be Welsh.
Yeah, you don't know. We can live in different places.
Ian Geoghegan or Ian Geoghegan. I reckon in America they will more likely pronounce things phonetically, right?
I think they probably call him Craig.
Ian, yeah. Ian Geoghegan. Geoghegan.
Oi, Craig. Fucking hell, it's Ian Geoghegan. Craig. Geoghegan. Craig? Geoghegan. Am I saying that right?
No, I'm saying that in the Geoghegan now, maybe. I reckon, all right, I'm going to say Ian Geoghegan. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ian Geoghegan.
You got a sick name. I like it a lot. And Colorado. Rocky Mountain High. Is that what that is? I'm just I'm picturing moose, and I'm picturing grizzly bears. I'm picturing
South
John
Park?
Denver. Or is that Denver? No, I'm thinking of Denver.
South Park?
I'm thinking of South Park. Is South Park in Colorado?
Yeah.
Sick. I'd also like to thank Jack Giles.
Jack Giles.
Or Giles Jack. Jack Giles. Jack Giles.
Giles.
Jack Giles. Great name. Giles from The Nanny. One of the great... I reckon he's one of the top four or five characters from The Nanny. It's Niles, which is interesting.
Yeah,
I
was watching The Nanny before I came here today.
Sheffield.
Miss Fine.
Mr. Sheffield.
It's been a few weeks, but we're mentioning The Nanny again.
Sasha became the nanny.
Did you see we got a tweet once that said, like, just because you mentioned it so much, was The Nanny a big deal in Australia or something? like it wasn't overseas, yes. But it was big here?
It's still they still show reruns. It was on TV this evening when I ate my soup.
Jack Giles from Essex.
Essex.
Do your Essex. What's your Essex accent?
I don't know.
Essex, great name. Cricket, that's a good cricket county, I believe, Essex.
The only way is Essex? Is that, that's
Jess is shaking her head. Are they not that good at cricket?
No, probably. How would I know?
That's a show, though.
Matt knows a place based on a sports reference. That's interesting.
No, I might be wrong there.
It's how she became
probably
the
suck
nanny.
At cricket. Anyway, what another...
The Only Way is Essex is a TV show. A British television soap opera based in Brentwood, England. It shows, quote, real people in modified situations saying unscripted lines but in a structured way.
Oh, that sounds great.
Right. And it stars here in a man called Giles...
Jack Giles?
Giles Jack.
Oh, interesting.
But Jack Giles is actually from Benfleet, Essex.
I'm really sorry to say that the ratings have really dropped. For 20 series of The Only Way is Essex.
No, too many.
And it started in 2010. 20 series in that many years.
Dave, we really should wrap this up. We're about to do our bonus Patreon episode after this.
We totally
and
are.
And it is pushing towards midnight, so and Jess is dying. So we really should. If you are a Patreon supporter, this other episode will probably be coming out soon after, right? Mm. When are you going to put
it up? Yeah, totally. Maybe even before this episode.
And it's a
check
Dave
Patreon
report.
It's going to be a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun researching this.
Also, we mentioned earlier this week that we are very, very close to our Patreon goal. Matt's got his regret face going already. Our Patreon goal of $2,000, which means that either Matt or myself are going to get a tattoo.
Or we will record a director's commentary on every episode of The Nanny. It's up to you. Those are the three options. So
I like the nanny option. We get to
no,
watch them often.
Just punking you. You're definitely getting a tattoo on your neck, Matt.
One of us is getting a tattoo. So if you are...
Jess wants one, so the people will vote for her.
But seriously, I put my hand up and said, I will get a tattoo at $2,000, and then you jumped on the bandwagon.
I thought it would be fun.
Now you want to jump off the bandwagon. Wagon.
No, I don't want to jump off. I just want the people to vote for you.
Yeah. I want people to vote for me too. We'll film it. We'll film
don't
me
you
getting
want to see Jess getting tattooed?
I'm going to be like so expressive in my face.
She'll express things, guys,
express
in
things,
her face.
I'll get a tattoo. Then all three of us will have tattoos and I won't be the odd one out all the time.
Yeah, so vote for Jess. Thank you.
So anyway, yeah, jump onto Patreon if you would like to.
You can support us. Yeah, you get the bonus episodes if you support us to a certain level, or you get shout-outs. You get all sorts of things. And don't forget to go on YouTube and check out that live episode with Meso. It was a lot of fun. That's on our YouTube channel with all our episodes. Matt's nearly uploaded, I'd say, two-thirds of all our back catalogues on YouTube now. YouTube.com/DoGoOnPod. Get in contact via Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DoGoOnPod, or email us. Jess loves emailing. She's on it every single day. DoGoOnPod@gmail.com if you want to suggest a topic.
Honestly, guys, I am checking that email while I'm sitting at work bored. So, get in touch.
Put a smile on a dial.
Yeah. Have a chat. I'm there.
We got a really good one from an American AFL convert.
We did. Yeah. We get some really great emails, actually.
When we were driving the other day, I wrote him quite a long, tedious reply.
I saw that. I saw that today because I saw, thanks for the reply, Matt. I said, oh, what did Matt say? And it was like, it was a fucking essay. But it was lovely. It was lovely. But mine are not essays, but I will touch upon points that you make and have a bit of fun with you.
That's real good.
You know?
What an honour.
Cool.
And finally, if I could just say a little something.
Oh.
I've noticed a lot of people that listen to our show, I ask them how they found the show, and it's a lot of the time they say, a friend put me on to you. So
yeah,
if you want to if you can't afford to help out with the Patreon, totally understand that. But if you want to keep the show going, but yes, if you would like us to maybe come to your town, the more people that listen there, the more likely we're going to come there. And the way you can do that is suggest our podcast to a friend that listens to podcasts.
Share the love.
That's real nice.
That would be really
tweet
nice if
about
you do that.
It. Put a little thing on Facebook and say, hey, I love this podcast. You should check it out.
We'd appreciate that 1,000,000%.
Absolutely.
Out of 1,000,000.
Well, that's all of them.
Could have just said 100%.
Yeah. Yep.
Not as impressive sounding, though. So thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll be back next week with another report. But until then, I will say a goodbye.
Laters. Do Mac well, Don. Is that anything?
It is now.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too.
Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.